background
okay.
is... Sorry.
No, it's great. It's great.
I just couldn't handle that anymore. You know?
Well, let's get started. Welcome once again to Circulus. This is a Dungeons & Dragons campaign. It's a homebrew, meaning that not found in stores, because I'm cheap and didn't buy any of the campaigns you can find in stores. I bought all the other rule books. Leave me alone. In any case, tonight I am joined by some awesome people. We are going to have Maros Orcbane, played by Tom. We're going to have Meepo, played by Jen. We're going to have our Stabulous Ravenscroft, played by Matt. And we are going to have Obame, played by Eric. And Fenix and Vex will not be in this particular episode because they happen to be off doing real life things. Who does that on a Saturday night these days, anyway? I don't get that. Whatever. Okay, so where we left off, the party adventuring and looking for a MacGuffin known as a Planar Focus, which if you have enough of them, apparently you can send people to other dimensions or other worlds. That became something that was very interesting to Vexaren because he would like to go home to Faerun, and Circulus is not Faerun. But also there happens to be some evil dragonborn named Thava who wants them also, so the party is kind of like, yeah, maybe don't let her have any. And they have taken a portal to an island covered with jungle and barbarians and orcs. And apparently, large bugs. They encountered a tiefling and a person that looked kind of like a cross between a human and a fox, known as an Arcanoloth. The tiefling was named Mo. He gave everyone some coffee. The Arcanoloth gave Meepo a cookie. And then they headed down into a giant sinkhole that was previously used as a temple of Earth by a bunch of druids many thousands of years ago. They were replaced by some drow, and then they were replaced / turned into large bug people. You had a remarkable encounter with three of them after you found a human that turned into bugs. That was enjoyable. And that's where that last session ended. Well, not exactly. You did hear the pitter-patter of many little feet coming towards you right when the session ended. This session begins with everyone give me an initiative roll.
Starting this way, are we?
Yep.
I've rolled a one.
Okay.
This is known as bad.
Yes.
And I know your plus to initiative is one, so that means you've got a two.
Mm-hmm.
16.
Okay.
I got a 10.
Okay. That's amusing because I had your names written in the order that you rolled. So I don't know. Okay. So we're going to go in order of your initiative. Maros, you wake up.
Huh?
You wake up. It was all a dream. You are actually in your home. No, no.
And you were there. And you were there.
And you were... No, I don't think you were there. Maybe you were. Never mind. I was quoting a movie that none of you have seen. I'm almost certain of it because it was an independent Christian rock group that made it. Never mind.
Yeah, it sounds like something I would have avoided. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was a funny movie, but never mind about that. In any case, you wake up and you are in some type of tube chamber. It's weird. You are a little groggy. You feel like you just spent a night out on the town and you're waking up not knowing how you got there, which is kind of apt. There is... The walls are kind of soft and squishy, almost wax-like, but it's not a wax. And the spot near your head appears to be a little more squishy than the rest of the surfaces.
Am I able to move my arms and legs?
Yeah. Matter of fact, you can move around pretty well, except for the fact that the space is pretty tight.
Hmm. Tom's claustrophobia is kicking in. Luckily, Miro's probably isn't claustrophobic.
The spot near your head appears to also have some type of light source on the other side of it. It's slightly translucent.
Okay. I'm going to try to just, like, tap it with my fingers.
Sounds hollow.
Hollow. Okay. Can I try to push on it to see if I can break through it?
You break right through to the other side.
All right. Break on through. I guess, can I try to pull myself out of said container?
You do. All right. So, Ari, you find yourself in a very similar situation. We're going to say that you reach the same conclusion that Maros did for how to get out. But in addition to the scenario that Maros is going through, you dimly become aware that what you at first thought was a bout of tinnitus is actually your amulet screaming at an incredibly high pitch.
Hello, Satan.
Get me out of here, 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 get me out of here. I don't like this place.
I'm working on it. I was asleep, apparently. What hit us?
You know what? We're up now. Let's get out.
Well, did you see what hit us?
Lots of bugs.
I remember we were flying. We heard feet.
Lots of bugs. Lots of demon bugs. We need to go.
We need to go now.
Kill it with fire from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
I will gladly kill it with fire. However, I think I will stay on terra firma instead. All right. So I will try to push through whatever substance is blocking our egress and see if I can extricate myself from this contraption.
Okay. So you do that and you find that you are in a chamber imagine, if you will, a dark honeycomb. That's pretty much what's lining the walls in here. There also appear to be some phosphorescent mushrooms that are growing in various spots. That's the main light source in here, so you can sort of make things out in that way. Not that it's really that important. You both have dark vision, and therefore you can see just fine. The dim light is enough that you could make out some basic stuff if you didn't have dark vision. With your ability to see in the dark, Ari with your robe of many eyes, and Maris because you're an overpowered half-elf, which I'm not complaining about that. It makes my life easier. You can see that it's basically the walls are lined with these hexagonal shapes. Some of them are covered up. Some of them are empty.
Okay.
And there appears to be a carcass in the middle of the room that looks like it's been chewed on a little bit, but not a whole lot.
I promise it's not me.
Oh, we haven't gotten to you in the initiative order. Could you roll for initiative, sir?
Oh, okay. 17, sir.
Okay, so you actually went before everyone else.
That's okay.
But what's worth noting is Maros and Ari, I'm describing a similar room to each of you, but you're not in each other's room.
I was just going to say, who else do I see? We each have a body in our perspective center of our room, for lack of a better word. Ari will immediately go check out the body, see if it's anyone he recognizes.
It's a beast of some kind. Your best guess is it's one of the local dinosaurs, a smaller version of one, or maybe that's its full-grown size. You can't tell. You're not up to date on your
paleontology
lexicon of prehistoric creatures.
You just know he was not the mama.
Not the mama.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love this game so much.
Okay. Take a look up. What else? I mean, how high up does this chamber go?
It apparently was higher before a bunch of bug people took it over and added things to it. There's some spots that look like it would have been made by bees. There's other spots that look like they would have been made by, like, paper wasps or something. But it's provided some insulation. It's actually quite warm in here. And by quite warm, I mean you were in a jungle before, in a tropical climate. This is warmer.
All right. Start looking for a way out of here, because this is not fun.
Okay. Meepo, you wake up in a very similar situation.
Okay. I find the light source, as described before, and dig my way out.
Okay. Ari, You hear a plop sound, and Meepo falls to the ground from a similar hexagon chamber.
I will rush to her, make sure she's okay, didn't hurt herself in the fall.
I'm okay. Where are we? Where's everybody else?
I don't know, hon. We,
I'm going to start digging on some more of these, and maybe we can find our people.
Sounds so like a plan.
Whichever one I can reach first, and digging whoever's in there out.
I'm going to kind of keep a defensive posture, looking to incinerate anything that might come in here to disturb our rescuing, for lack of a better word.
And as you look around, there is a very obvious exit to this chamber. There's only one of them.
Okay.
But it does look like it was a doorway, like with a door and everything, before the new residents.
The door is gone. The opening is still present.
Correct.
Okay. Ari will just move over towards it.
Obame, we're going to fast forward through your scenario because I'm going to assume that you come to the same conclusion as everyone else or how to get out of your bind.
Pretty much. Yep.
And you are in the room with Maros.
Well, this is interesting. Is there anything, any creatures or anything that we find?
Dinosaur corpse in the middle of the room. Medium-sized dinosaur corpse. You've got one exit.
Yeah. I'm going to just gesture to him like, let's get out of here.
You, by the way, are covered in some type of pulp, all four of you.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Specifically said no pulp.
I use prestidigitation to fix that. There you go.
Go ahead. Medicine check to see what this is?
Give me a roll.
I'll do a nature check on my substance.
I'm going to use prestidigitation to get rid of mine and Mr. Ari's if I can.
Okay. Give me a second. Let me check it out first.
Okay.
I'm going to try to brush it off.
20 on the die, but I have a plus 8. Sorry, 12 on the die, but I have a plus 8, so it's 20.
I rolled a 15 on the die for a plus, and a plus 7 on nature for 22.
Okay, well, there are some insects that you're aware of that when they have the egg in a container inside the hive, they do put some food in there for it so that when it emerges and it's hungry, it has a quick meal to eat. And some of them will have drones that will go in and or worker creatures that will go in and give them food regularly. But others that are maybe shorthanded would just provide the food for later.
And there's no specific time that we could think that we have been out at all. We don't have like a frame.
You've had a short rest. Oh, no, you had a long rest at this point.
I know, but I mean, I'm talking about a time frame.
You know you've had a long rest in there because I told you to press the long rest button in D&D Beyond. But beyond that, you don't know how long it's been.
I don't like this, man, but something tells me we've been taken care of while we're in here. Some sort of nutrients. This is what's on us.
Well, I think it looks like some kind of food. I think they were just fattening us up because we're the food. That's what the dinosaurs were.
Well,
the dinosaurs could have been food as well.
You.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
But it's
Meepo, don't let anybody else free. Meepo, don't free anybody else.
pretty much. So Maris, as you try to brush it off, you get the outer layers off.
Mm-hmm.
And your what color was your clothing before?
Brown.
Okay, it is a darker, richer shade of brown than it was before.
Son of a witch.
Richer, like chocolate.
Yeah.
Yes, but now it's a dark chocolate, which means it's actually healthier for you.
saying this was a positive experience for me.
We live in an age where dark chocolate is healthy and romaine lettuce can kill you. I have prepared my entire life for this moment. Okay. So, Meepo, you did say before that you were going to open some of those chambers. You do open one of them before you realize, prestidigitation, that's a thing. And inside it appears to be something that was an orc.
Oh.
It's a formerly living orc.
Oh.
It's still breathing. It is moving. It appears to be unconscious, but underneath its large muscular arms, it appears to be sprouting two additional arms. The skin is a bit tougher than it was before.
I take out my swords.
No, well, it's we're in different rooms
with Ari and Meepo.
Yeah. We're in different rooms.
I take out my swords anyway. I know I didn't see this, but I'd just taken them out anyway.
Ari's both fascinated and horrified at what's going on inside.
Okay, so I think he's going to be a bug very soon. Should we? Can I, like, just set the wall on fire?
Again, part of me says yes, part of me says no.
There's a voice in the back of your head that says yes, yes, very much yes.
Satan says yes, so go ahead and incinerate it.
Okay, I use the firebolt cantrip to set as much of it on fire as I can.
So do Obama and I start smelling something cooking?
Then I'm going to go to the other side of the room and keep going and just set it on fire.
We're going to
make
fermented mead.
Okay, so...
room full of fire.
Obame and Maros, you hear a... and you, it starts to smell like someone's burning a scented candle. But not a good scented candle.
If there's one thing I cannot, it's bad barbecue.
We got some pig over here in that orc.
It's kind of like if you had a citronella candle... and a bug fell in it and started to burn with the wax. It's a
great.
Similar odor.
Oof. All right, let's all leave right, this gonna, little place.
I'm going to call okay. out, be like, Ari, Meepo, where are you?
Do we hear him?
Oh, yeah.
Over all here right. with the all fire right. that right, I cool. set. Where are you?
Towards the light.
Yeah. You might. Do you need fire?
Maybe.
I can do that.
We don't know yet.
I don't know. Burning the whole building down while we're inside it doesn't seem like the braddest idea, but...
Oh, trust me. It was a good idea in this room.
Yeah. All right. Have we reached them?
Yeah. Apparently, there's this long hallway that sort of twists and turns, but it's very easy to follow the warm glow emanating from one of them. Oh, and the smoke. Lots of smoke.
Yeah, smoke. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just, can we make like a survival check or something to find, kind of figure out kind of where we are? Or...
We got to find Vex. Vex has the detector.
Oh.
Oh, what if he was in that room?
Do we really have to find Vex?
Well, good news for Chris is when he takes that week off, we get to tell him, hey, you know how you like playing Galen? You want to play him full time?
Oh, no.
Because Meepo just got a lot of experience points.
So does it look like we can find a similar looking room or that we weren't in?
It looks like all of the rooms in this hallway are set up in a similar fashion. And there are a lot of them. Now, Meepo, did you use prestidigitation to get all that stuff off of you?
Uh-huh.
She wanted to, yeah. Once I checked it out and realized it was just food, I had no care about it.
Okay. Meepo, as soon as you are clean of the foodish material, the pulp, mm-hmm. you start to hear a chittering sound coming from further down the tunnel.
Uh-oh. Guys, something's coming, and I think it's big.
All right. Wizard.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. I would like to cast Bardic. I'd like to cast Bardic Inspiration on Ari.
Okay.
I have a Bardic Inspiration die. Yay.
Yes.
What kind of die is that for your level? Oh, wait, you're level 1 Bard, so it would be the baseline,
it's
right?
It's 1d6.
Okay. At higher levels, the die goes up, which is nice.
Yeah.
But okay.
I'll cast Blessed on Ari. Oh, sorry, on the three other team members.
Okay.
I'll take a D4 to my saves, along with Bardic die. I got nothing until I can see it coming. Yeah. I'll cast Mage Armor. That's all I'll armor up.
Yeah.
Everything else I need a target for.
I'm just imagining how this would look in a Saturday morning cartoon.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Everyone assumes a battle pose.
Yep.
For some reason, Maros is talking, but his words don't match the lips moving.
Come on, you guys. We've got to attack them now. You killed my brother. Get him, boys.
All right. So coming down the hallway are two more of these bug things, and they are coming at speed. They come around the corner, having used a double move to get into range. You can see them. They're about 15 feet away, but they can't get any closer on their turn. I'm going to keep using your initiative rolls for this.
Okay.
And I just rolled for their initiative. What's their plus?
Let me check attack or saving throw. Plus, we have Bless in effect from Obame. All right.
Obame, you're up.
I'll hold my attack, or my turn.
Okay, Meiros, you're up.
All right. I would like Vicious Mockery on one of them.
Okay.
So that is... I'm going to... save. Oh, okay.
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vicious Mockery is a straight-up saving throw.
Which for you... I have to roll a wisdom save, and that would be a 13 or higher.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so that is not a 13 or higher. We will not discuss that.
All right. All right, so they take 2d4 psychic damage.
All right.
So let's roll those beautiful dice here. And 6. I say, boy, okay. You got to be the ugliest thing I've seen today.
I like how you had to qualify that.
Day is young.
Yeah.
And it has disadvantage on the next attack roll it makes before the end of its next turn. So that's kind of nice. All right. Next up is going to be these bug things. They rush forward. They were only 15 feet away, so they can strike you. And one of them is going to go right for Meiros, because Meiros...
Made nasty words at it.
You said horrible things about its appearance. It woke up like this, okay?
I was bug shaming it, right?
So,
yeah.
So that's going to be a 13 on the die.
That will miss.
Okay, next attack is lower than that. Next attack is a 14.
That misses.
Okay, so it just keeps swinging at you.
Bobbing and weaving.
Yeah. You're like, oh, so close. Oh, try harder. Oh, you can do it this time. You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you.
You may be ugly, but you're trying.
All right. But that was the one that you didn't use Vicious Mockery on.
Okay.
Those were not rolled at a disadvantage.
Awesome.
So now this other one that does have disadvantage... Now, it's just on its next attack roll. So it gets 3 attacks. One of these rolls will be disadvantaged. The other 2 will be normal.
Okay.
That one does not go after Meiros because Meiros is otherwise engaged. You haven't set a date yet, but... this happened to be there. The other one's going to go after Obame. And that's going to be... Well, I rolled a 17 on the die, but then I rolled a 1 because it was at disadvantage.
Yay.
So... It doesn't hurt itself because I rolled a nat 20 on the save. Someone would probably make an argument that I wasted a nat 20 on that. But I don't believe in wasting die rolls. They're all random. That's the thing. Stop saying otherwise. Not that I'm targeting any specific member of the party that likes to say that frequently, but is not here today.
I was going to say, Akari? No.
Okay, Chris, excuse me.
That next roll is a 21.
That's a hit.
So, probably, yes. So, Obame, you are going to take 7 points of piercing damage from one of those stingers that it has between its fingers. The natural one was it tried to bite you.
Okay.
But now it's going with the stinger attacks, and that is another 21.
Okay.
And for that one, you are going to take 3 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
A glancing blow. All right, Meepo, it's your turn.
Okay, so it looks like Meiros kind of has things under control. So I'm going to use a firebolt and shoot at the head of the thing that attacked Mr. Obame.
Okay.
And hopefully it will slow him down. Do I need to roll something for that? Or?
You said firebolt?
Firebolt.
Yes, that would be a 2-hit roll.
Oh,
did Meepo get blessed?
Yes, Meepo did get blessed.
All right, she will also add a D4 to her D20 roll.
Okay, so I roll a D20. Let's start there. And I got a 16.
That's probably going to hit with your attack roll.
Yeah, your okay. Your plus to hit with Firebolt is plus 6.
Yes.
Yeah, 23.
So now I roll 2d10. Is that right?
For yes. Ball?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. 2d10. I got an 8 and a 4.
Woo, 12.
All right. You did more damage than Mayros did.
Fire's good. Fire's good.
Oh, wait. Well, let me check immunities. Okay.
Resistances. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was looking at that earlier today for something else that you're going to encounter, and I was kind of surprised about what I found. But never mind about that. Moving on. Nothing.
Why do I have this feeling a Drider's going to show up at some point?
Well, that's why a good spellcaster keeps a myriad of elemental damage effects.
Yes.
Well, fire's not working. Let's try lightning.
Well, here's the thing, Tom. There wasn't going to be a Drider
before.
Yay.
The beauty of D&D Beyond, this is not a paid advertisement, is that whatever monster is in the Monster Manual or any other rule book that I have purchased through D&D Beyond system, I have at my fingertips.
Oh, I know.
I love this. I love this setup they have for this game with the Beyond. We were using it last night. I was borrowing my daughter's Kindle and loaded it up. Loaded the character up for last night's game, my Friday game, and I was just like, this is so awesome. I have everything I have right at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I don't need to flip sheets back and forth or find, you know, it's like, nope, here's your spell. Here's what it does. Here's what you do with it. Bang, done.
Yep.
It has done to Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition what Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition did to all previous editions.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it so much.
I do, all too. Right.
So, Meepo, that's your turn. Ari, you're up.
All right. Well, Meepo tried some fire. Let's see what a little cold does to these buggers. We're going to try Ray of Frost. Yeah. I will focus fire on the same one that Meepo has attacked.
The one that looks like Carrot Top at this point.
Yeah. And I know I got blessed as well, so I'm going to find my D4. All right, so I rolled a 9 on my 20 and a 4 on my D4, so that's a total of 13 plus 7 is 20.
That's going to hit.
All right. 2d8, cold damage is 6 and 5 for 11, and if it matters, that creature's speed is slowed by 10 feet.
We'll see if it matters. It is the top of the hour. Obame, you're up.
The one that hit me, I want to cast Toll of the Dead on it.
Toll of the Dead. There is a boom sound.
It is a 15. Sorry, a 16 Wisdom saving throw.
That is not a 16.
Much lower. 2d8 necrotic. Let me press this. 13 points of necrotic damage. As a bonus action, I want to use Healing Word on myself.
Okay.
So that's going to be 4. Nice. 9.
Okay.
Thank you.
You feel invigorated. All right. Mayros, you're up.
All right. Now that he's insulted the creature, now he's going to try to chop it up. He's going to swing with short sword number 1 at it. And let's see. Wait, hold on. 18 to hit.
That'll hit.
Okay, so that one is the 1d3. Wait, hold on. Do you want to and then just roll the damage together, or you want them separate?
We can do it either way.
Okay, I like doing it's like one attack, one damage. It let's see now. That's 9 points of damage. So he's just like hacking at its like one, like basically he's like swinging one sword at it, like swinging for its face. To make it even uglier. And now we're going to try to swing the other one. Unnatural 20. Does that hit?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And this one is 4 points damage with that one.
Okay.
And then he is going to try to just back up a little bit to give the others maybe a little space. And actually, he is going to use his superiority die to try to maneuver it so that he's he's out of the way so that somebody else can blast it.
Okay.
So I am using a superiority dice. Yay.
Yeah. Okay, so what's the name of the ability you're using?
It was just a superiority die, and maneuvers. I'm sorry, maneuvers, yeah.
So you were using maneuvering attack from one of your hits.
Yeah.
So
basically when he swung the second one, yeah.
You add the superiority die to your attack's damage roll, so you're also doing more damage with this.
Oh, okay. So now I need to roll...
What kind of die is it for you?
D8, I think it says here. All right. So it's just like 1d8.
If it's fifth level, that sounds about right.
That would be 5.
Okay, so that's an additional 5 damage.
So he swung at it, and then he kind of dove and kind of try and give someone a clear shot.
All right. And you choose a friendly creature who can see or hear you. That creature can use its reaction to move up to half speed without provoking an opportunity attack. So you're not the one who is backing away unless you declare it yourself.
Well, what I was thinking is he's kind of like swinging at it and like kind of falling back in a way, I guess. So as he's hitting it, like he's kind of diving, I guess.
Do you have, you know what, that might be better. I've checked a couple of these out. I don't know if you have it. Evasive footwork. When you move, you can expend a superiority die and add that number to your AC until you stop moving. You're trying to get out of its way. Right. I was just saying, you're trying to get out of its way. That sounds more like what you were trying to do is attack it and then so that you can back up getting away or get away from it.
I don't see the evasive.
No, you probably didn't choose that one. But
yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Either way. That sounds more like what you were trying to do. And I was like, wait, is that what you meant?
Well, either way, he got to add more damage to his attack with that roll.
Right. Yeah. Well, the evasive one gives you more to your AC, so you don't necessarily then have to disengage or, you know, it'll make an opportunity attack. That die then adds to your current armor class for the round. So anything you gets in your way, or you pass by making opportunity attacks, that's what that's good for. You just want to get yourself the maneuvering attack, get somebody else into a more advantageous position. In this case, Obane, who is being attacked by both of them, I think, right? Or no?
I think he got hit by the other one.
No, I got hit by the other one, yeah.
Okay, so you could use that to get Obane free of that one.
I gotcha. Okay.
To allow him to back up to heal himself or maybe then cast another spell of some kind or an area effect spell or something like that. You can't. Yeah,
I gotcha.
That's
Obane tank. I mean, the healing tank.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I can do it, man. Let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, if we can retcon that, and I'd rather do that. I'm going to just tank both of them. So,
okay, so Obane, you see an opening where you can back up without having to provoke attacks of opportunity. Would you care to do so?
I do. I'd like to get to at least 30. At least 30.
You can move half of your movement away.
Okay, so. Then we'll go 25. It's 25. Yeah, so we'll go about 13, 12, whatever's rounded up down.
When in doubt, round down is the rule in Dungeons & Dragons, so we'll
go 12. 12.
Okay, so you scurry backwards like a brave little dwarf that is running towards another battle that's over that way. just happens to be the opposite of this battle.
I lost everybody there for about 10 seconds.
Is it? So is that like a tactical retreat?
Okay.
It's
an advance to the rear.
Yes, he's advancing to the rear.
Because the pain train's coming, baby. The pain train's coming. Woo woo! Woo woo!
Okay, so let's roll some attack damage. All right, that is a 14. At this point, they're both going for Maros because he's the one that's still up in their faces. Does a 14 hit you?
That will miss.
That is a 23.
That will definitely hit.
That's 7 points of damage.
Ooh.
Unless you want to spend a superiority die to parry.
No, I think I'm going to hold on to those.
Okay. That is a 16.
That will hit.
That is 6 points of damage.
Okay, so that's total 13 so far.
Bug number 2.
Okay.
That's a miss.
All right.
That's a dirty 20.
Ugh, that'll hit.
5 points of damage.
All righty.
And that's a miss. All right, bug people have gone. Meepo, it's your turn.
Okay, so I just watched Mr. Obane take off that way. He's going to cast really bad over. I'm going to take off that way next to him if I can.
Well, neither you or Ari was right up next to these things, so
okay.
You can back up without having to disengage.
Okay, so I'm going to back up.
And that's only half your movement, so
okay.
If you're sitting next to Obane, you still have an attack you can do. That's fine.
Okay. Did it look like... I'm trying to understand if Firebolt appears to have done any damage.
Well, you smelled that cooking smell again that left you conflicted last time.
And I'm conflicted again. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you just had a long nap.
Yeah.
You feel like it's time to practice. And this food they packed you with doesn't really look appetizing.
No, that doesn't look good. This is weird. It's like waking up and bacon, but it's not bacon.
It's bacon strips.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so I'm going to cast Firebolt again on the one that is not currently on fire.
Okay.
So I roll a d20, right?
Yep.
And you get to add a d4 thanks to Obame's blessing.
That one ran over my keyboard. Okay, I have a 14.
That's going to hit.
On the dice.
Yeah, okay. When you're regular.
Even without rolling the d4, we are plus 6 to your hit, so a 14 would make it up to a dirty 20. And that's over this thing's AC. Give me some damage.
Okay, so I got 2d10. I've got an 8 and a 6.
Okay, so 14 points of damage.
All right. And I think I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved and I did something. So yeah, I think I'm done.
Okay, Ari, you're up.
All right. My snowball swarm is only a short radius burst. How are these large or medium creatures?
Medium.
Medium. Okay. Both are attacking, what's his name? Miros. Sorry.
Yes.
How far? I want to aim, basically, it's going to cover about a 10 foot by 10 foot area. I want to aim it behind the bugs so that they'll hit the bugs without getting Miros. I don't know if I'm in position to be able to shoot that, like over them or behind them.
I'm going to say you can.
Okay. Then they will need to make a dexterity save, DC 15, and I will roll some cold damage.
Neither of them makes the save.
All right, and I rolled 11, so strictly average.
Okay. Meepo, you don't know why, but you flinch. I'm just remembering the first time that this spell was used in this campaign.
Yes.
It killed a lot of kobolds.
It did.
Oh.
I think 4.
What did you just cast?
Snilox.
Yeah. Worm. Okay, yeah. So now I'm conflicted again. I'm like hungry for food that is not food, and I'm a bad thing.
And now she's having
my family.
PTSD.
She having inner monologue now of all this craziness that's going on in her life.
For the record, the kobolds that were killed in the snowball swarm were not from the Chipped Claw Clan.
Okay, but they were still kobolds, so it's disturbing.
Yes. At this point, both of them are now bloodied.
Yay!
And Obame, it is your turn.
Oh, the pain train's about to commence.
Glitter bomb. Shining bolt.
The pain train has been running over Meros. Meros, how many hit points do you have left?
38.
Oh, he's a fighter.
He's
a fighter. He's got some.
That's right.
On a scale of 1 to 57, he feels about a 38.
He's about 38. he's looking a pint low.
I'm casting a level 3 cure wounds.
Alrighty.
15 points.
Gracias.
Yep. I'll be done.
Alrighty. Meros, your turn.
Let's see. Since I've made some new friends, I would like to just continue to hack at that first one.
Okay.
So I'm going to swing at the first one. Actually, I'm probably going to attack both of them. I may do like one hit on each. So let's see.
You're such a sharing person.
I know. I want to keep their attention. I don't want them to get bored. 17 to hit.
Yep.
Right. Believe it or not, that's actually your job.
Yes. Stand there and get hit. Yep. I know. Yep. that would be 9 points of damage on that one. And then he is going to swing up. Now he's going to, like, with his right hand, swing at the other one while saying things about his mother, or its mother.
It's been established that these things were other kinds of humanoids before they became bug people. So
they would. Within 12.
You rolled a 12 to hit?
Yeah.
Do you have the bless on you?
Yeah, all three of you guys have it.
Oh, okay. That's a D4, Tom.
Okay. Woohoo. Would be only a 2.
Well, add 2 to the 12, that becomes a 14 plus whatever. Or yeah. was that your total?
That is my total, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've become that person that gets a little too smug about things and then flails right at the crucial moment.
Yeah.
You'd be driving the point home. Like, your mom's older than you. And then you miss.
Am I able to? I can't use a cantrip then as a bonus action, right?
No. Not when you did 2 swings.
Never mind.
Well, no. Bonus action is separate from an action.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. He could do, a bonus act, because there are some cantrips you can only do that way. So it depends on what the cantrip is.
Well,
as
it's
a fighter, he's got 2 attacks per action.
Right.
So he wasn't attacking as a bonus action.
I thought he was offhand attacking. That's where I was screwing up. Okay. Yeah. Never mind. My bad.
Okay.
As a fighter, he does one thing. He does it well. He hits things.
Yeah. He hits things.
I would love to use Vicious Mockery as well, but I won't. So
that is unfortunately not a bonus action. That is
right. Yeah, not a bonus action one.
All right, I'm gonna find a way to do that somehow.
Dissonant Whispers is also an action. That's a shame.
Yeah.
Do you have a bonus action?
Would that be?
I'm sorry.
Where would that be?
Well, I was looking through your spells. All your spells are actions.
Oh,
bonus.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay.
Are the only
are applicable.
Do you fight two-handed style?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you what kind of fighting style do you run two-handed fighting style? Are you like defensive?
Two-weapon fighting.
Yeah,
he does have two-weapon fighting. Okay, So as a bonus action, you could swing a third time. You just wouldn't get, but if you have two-weapon fighting, right? Then you would get your damage on the bonus action. Okay. You could, it's using your offhand as a third attack, essentially.
Actually, I do have extra
that's
attack.
That's not written here.
No, it's not. No, it's because it's the way two-weapon fighting, anybody can theoretically fight two-weapon style. It's just their offhand is usually, you have to either have like either a small or a light weapon or a finessable weapon or something like that. And then, you don't get any damage on the offhand attack. Two-weapon fighting lets you do that. Are you also a dual wielder?
I believe so.
Like one of your feats? Yeah. Like you can use 2 of the same weapon?
Oh, that's not a feat that he has that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. No.
It's not a big deal.
No,
he does
just
have action surge.
Yeah.
That now, would be, if you trigger action surge as a bonus action, I think that's what that costs.
I'm saving that, though, because... Okay. You have to take a short rest or a long rest to use it again. So I'm sort of holding that one.
No, okay. I'm just there's two weapon fighting is very tricky because theoretically Ari could do it holding 2 daggers. He just wouldn't be very good at it. You as a fighter on the other end are very good at it.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's fine. Just thank you.
Yep.
What I love about this is in the middle of combat, we're having these rules discussions. Because what's considered to be the most default of all the character classes, fighter, none of us is used to playing.
No, I don't play.
Yeah. and that's what I used to play years ago was fighter. So.
And I'm totally okay with this. All right. So you did your 2 attacks. It's now time for the bugs. They're thinking of forming a musical group. They need 2 more band members.
I'm already Ringo.
Unfortunately, when you slash one in the face, you cut its nose off. Never mind.
Okay. It's not going to help its image.
No. I'm going to tell you right now, that's going to be a hit. It's over 20.
Okay.
Finally, one of them manages to bite you before they kept missing that. And that is going to be, what's the damage for this? Oh, well, that's a different set of dice. That is 11 points of piercing damage.
Alrighty.
It gets right up in there on a designated good guy area, usually the shoulder. So shoulder or forearm, a little bit of both. Some from column A, some from column B. And while it's biting you, it takes some swings with its stingers. That is going to be a 10. That's not going anywhere. That is, again, over 20.
All righty.
3 points of damage.
Death by 1,000 stings.
Yes. Okay, and now the other one.
Oh, hold on. I think I missed the last damage there. You cut out.
Oh, 3 points of damage.
3. Okay, sorry.
The other one sort of like lifts its head up and sniffs, which is weird because it's not using its nose to do it. It's using its antennae to do it. But the motion of sniffing the air is maybe it's a vestige of when it was a humanoid as opposed to a monstrosity. It's very recognizable. And it lowers its head and looks directly at Meepo.
Uh-oh.
And moves towards her. Now, at this point, would you like to make an attack of opportunity, Mayros?
I would love to.
By all means, please do. Now, that will only be one swing, not two.
Right, right. No, that's fine. Let's go with the better one. 17.
That's a hit.
All right, let's roll some damage here. 7 points of damage. Stay away from her. Look at me when I'm hitting you.
That's when I miss the marking ability.
Unfortunately, its ears are for show. They would be form over function, but the form doesn't look so good at this point either. It goes right for Meepo, and it tries to bite her. Rolls a 14.
And can I cast, what was that one, shield?
Shield.
Yes, you don't know what cast shield.
Okay, I'm casting shield.
That bumps your AC by 5.
Okay.
And that means it'll be a miss. And okay, duration is for one round.
Right. Okay. And until her next attacks. Yeah, it's the next attacks, which that's what you really want it on.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, the bite does more damage. Actually,
yeah.
But
blocking the first means the other ones are much harder, so and it will last her. Yeah.
Well,
that's the fun part with shield.
That's two misses, including a nat one.
Yeah.
But two of those hits would have hit without the shield.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's why the wizards love shield.
Yes. That is a good one.
So it breaks a mandible on this invisible wall that just appears in front of you as you go, nope. Meepo, it is now your turn.
Okay, well, I don't like these things. They're too close to me, and they're beating up my friends. So I'm going to try to distract them by casting Dancing Lights, assuming they are a medium-sized monster, vaguely humanoid form, in the hopes that they'll kind of, like, look at those and be distracted, and everybody else can attack.
And at the same time, what you're saying is, don't stand so close to me, which amuses me highly because Sting is in that band.
Yeah.
It's a very convoluted pun, but it checks out.
It works, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to cast that.
Leanne would appreciate that one immensely.
Do I roll a 20 to cast that?
For Dancing Lights, let me check that. I don't believe that anything in it inherently
does damage, right? No. It just distracts.
It doesn't even say it distracts.
No, it's just light.
Some lights that dance around.
So I'm just hoping they'll think it's a magic missile or something. Okay.
So the area lights up, and you see what might be a few more of these things coming down the tunnel towards you.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I would like you to make a nature check.
Me?
Yes.
Okay.
Ari, you can make it also.
I rolled a 20. Oh, and I have a plus 2 on nature.
That's awesome. So Ari's role actually becomes irrelevant because
it
applies directly to you.
She's not going to do much. I'm not going to do much better than that. I rolled a 12. That went plus 7 to 19. So
with that 20, it immediately occurs to you. These things use smell a lot more than most humanoid creatures. and you started hearing the chittering that they were coming down the tunnel towards you right when you got yourself clean.
Uh-oh.
You don't smell like the hive.
There's more coming, and I think they're after me.
No, you and me. We don't smell like the hive.
Yeah.
No, you can't use precipitation on two people at once.
Oh, right.
It really happened right when she used it on herself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ari, since you didn't care so much, you're still covered in it.
Yeah, I haven't cared. I figured we're going to be covered in more of this mess before we get out of here. So.
Oh.
You know what? It's remembering of your college days.
Yeah. When pranks were abounding and people were messing with magic they didn't quite understand.
Well, you were pledging for that one fraternity for a while. It didn't work out, but...
No, it did not.
So if it's... if it's still my turn, can I move?
You still have movement. Now you will invoke an attack of opportunity if you move away from this thing because it's right on top of you.
Does shield still hold up for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So if I'm aware that the bugs coming towards us are looking for me because I don't have whatever that stuff is on me anymore, I'm going to move towards whichever person in my party is closest and try to like kind of climb up them and get more of that stuff that the bugs like on me. So I'll smell the same.
Okay.
I would recommend obey him. So.
Yeah. Well, he might be close because I ran towards him a bit. So
yeah, you're right next to him.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to like kind of, you know.
I would say that it doesn't even use any movement for you to get closer to him.
Okay.
How close you two are. You said you wanted to be standing next to him.
Right.
But to get that stuff on you will require an action, and that you don't have.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then so that's not going to work then.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Now, you did alert the party to this information, talking about that reaction.
Okay.
Everyone else knows what's going on.
Maybe someone could throw her in the goop.
Well, there isn't. Where is more goop?
In one of those rooms, but.
And not the one I set on fire.
There's a big pile of it at where Meepo's feet were when she used prestidigitation.
And that was in the room by the fire.
Yes.
But we're not in that room anymore, are we?
No. You're fairly close to it. You had just walked out the door.
Yeah. You could run back in there and get some. We can hold them off for a little bit, I hope.
Yeah.
If they're coming up that hallway, I could try to launch a fireball down there.
That's what I was hoping. Is.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something like, light them up.
Yeah, that's my plan. I got the wand of fireballs already rock and roll.
Okay.
So, Meepo, if you choose, you could use your movement to get back to the room. You are less than 30 feet from there. You could get to that stuff and then use your next action to deal with it.
Okay, then that's what I'll do.
Okay. At this point, Ari, it's your turn.
Okay, I now see a horde or a small horde of bug things coming up the hall. I'm very good at perception checks, thanks to my magical robes.
It's advantageous.
Yes, 17 on the die, and my perception bonus is, where is it, 4? So 21, 17 and 4. I was trying to say 14, that wasn't going to work.
They seem to be mostly working in pairs. You see two more coming down.
So four?
Two of the ones we're fighting, and then two more coming up the hall.
Okay.
Yeah. When they come into view, they're 15 feet away.
Right.
What is the radius for your fireball spell?
That's 20. So it would come 5 feet into our room. Would that hit any of us?
Mayros, question for you.
Yeah.
Do you like tanning?
Well, I could do the cold one down the hall. It does slightly less damage.
Yeah, but I don't want to get slowed down though.
No, yeah. Well, fireball is 8d6. The cold ball is 3d6. That's a lot. And doesn't blow up nearly as much.
Light them up.
You want me to light them up? I couldn't hear you.
I said light them up. I'm good with it.
All righty.
The good news is it's going to catch one that's fighting Mayros in the blast.
Well, that's also that will be helpful then because I want to kill at least one up here.
Yeah.
So we're going to blow three charges off this wand to make that a 10d6 fireball.
I'm ready for it.
So they say they will make a DC 15 dex save, and I will roll 10d6.
I've been rolling saves horribly.
That's good. I will also use... What?
Go on.
Never mind. I was going to use my ability, but I forgot. I can't do that on my turn.
Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. I have to use a reaction, and I don't get reactions on my own turn. All right. Let's see. 1, 2, 2, 2, 7, 10, 20, 32, and 5 is 37. So only slightly above average.
So, Mayrose, you're going to need to make a save.
Okay, that's a dex save?
Yep, 15 or higher.
Okay, 15?
Half damage.
All right.
So you take what?
Half of 37 is
18.
17.
Okay.
It rounds down.
Okay. All right. Ow.
I asked first.
You are.
Oh, no, I know.
You are lightly toasted. It's a crispy outside.
I have used an item as my action. Meepo's going to go take care of her little issue with the food, so I am not going to do anything further at this time. I want to stay in close range, essentially, in case Meros needs additional assistance. So I am good.
Okay. Meros, the bug you're fighting, it's half the man it used to be.
All right.
And it sort of just collapses on you.
Awesome. And slides down. The one that was going after Meepo, would that one have...
That one's standing next to Obame.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot to make my rolls for attack. It gets one attack of opportunity. It glanced off her shield as she ran.
Okay. I'm going to holler at that one and be like, boy, I wasn't done with you yet. Come here. Because he thought that was really rude that it ignored him and went after Meepo.
All right. Well, talking is a free action, so you can do that. But it is currently Obame's turn.
All right.
I'll do another third level cure wounds on
Meros.
Now, Obame took some damage too. He can cast it on himself if he really wants
to. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can. But we're not going to do that right now.
Or the guy who got hit with a fireball, either way.
Yeah.
we just had our first, this is so sweet, our first collateral damage from fireball from the wizard.
Yep.
Oh wow!
It took 38 episodes for us.
I told him though. I called in the airstrike.
So. Yep.
Nuclear launch detected. Which is fitting to say, considering the episode title is "For the Swarm."
Yes.
Starcraft, I love you so much.
That's 26 healing.
Woo!
Awesome. All that I did, and then some.
Yeah. Seriously.
And then I'm going to go ahead and do a healing word on myself as a bonus action. And that's going to be 6 points.
Dang.
How do I roll a one on a four? That's horrible.
Dang life clerics.
Okay. So, Mayrose.
Yeah.
It is now your turn.
So the bug man who was so rude and decided to go attack somebody else, I'm just swinging at it with both swords.
Okay. It will take you 15 feet of movement, but there's no attack of opportunity because the other two bug creatures are 15 feet in the other direction.
Oh, I got a nat 20. So a total of 24 to hit with the first sword.
Well, you don't even need to total it because a nat 20 is going to hit no matter what. If their AC is 30, and you have a minus to hit, a nat 20 is going to hit.
All right. And that is going to be 4 points of damage, but I double it, don't I? Because it's a
You roll twice as many die.
Okay.
And you add the modifier only once.
Okay. Oh, I gotcha. Okay. So, all right. So that was 4, and then we get rid of this one. 1 point of damage. All right. And then he would have stabbed it through its back, and now he's going to like swing at its neck with the other sword.
Where's the guy with rogue so he can sneak attack.
Stabby, stabby.
And that's a 13 to hit. I probably miss.
13 is going to miss.
You all have right. Bless up still. Obame still has Bless.
Oh.
Add the D4.
All right, so that would be 17 then.
The 17 will hit.
Yay, you thank you. Sorry, yep. I keep forgetting that.
That's the thing. Bless is a very constantly forgotten spell. Wizards like myself don't tend to use it a whole lot, but melee people all the time. But even then, it's like, if you roll high enough, oh, you hit. Was I close? Maybe. Oh, wait, Bless was in effect. There you go.
6 points of damage then at its neck.
You take off its head.
Shoo.
And then I will kick its disgusting head out of the way.
All right. So its head bounces down the tunnel.
All right.
Meepo is, I'm guessing, slathering pulp all over herself.
Mm-hmm. I'm just rolling in it. It's quicker.
That works.
I could totally see that.
I guess I might have said that. I can see that. She's trying to find matching things to put on that kind of accentuate the color.
This is where we sing rolling it, rolling in the goop. So.
to make the goop purple and pink and
I could,
and
but
red.
I'm worried maybe the bug people could see the color was wrong and I'll have the same problem.
Well, it's worth pointing out that there were two more bug people.
Yeah.
There were two more.
Yeah.
Coming down the hall.
I'm hoping they are not.
Well, you did not do enough damage to kill them. You killed the one that was fighting you after it had been attacked and slashed and had its head set on fire at least once and had some nasty things said about its heritage. But these other two were fresh. They just gotten out of the shower, actually.
Right.
Unfortunately for them, this entire tunnel system, while underneath its well-crafted stone, there's a significant amount of detritus that has been adhered to it over, you have no idea how long.
Yeah, millennia.
Some of it is quite susceptible to heat-based attacks. Some of it might even melt. Some of it might catch on fire.
Uh-oh.
Some of it might act in a form not unlike napalm when a significant heat source is applied to it. There is a rumble. There is a collapse, a structural failure, if you will. The hallway is quickly filling with smoke, more so than it was already from Meepo's destructive episode earlier.
Which,
but you are no longer
she has several destructive episodes. Bookshelves.
Well, the most recent one.
The most recent one, yeah.
No. One of the most recent ones.
Clearly, the bug people do not recognize our group as, you know, the ones who show up and half the city disappears.
They might be coming to that conclusion very soon.
Yes. We are providing them several bits of evidence.
And some would argue you provide a valuable service.
I do.
All right, but you are out of initiative, and we have been playing for little over an hour. Do we need to take a 5-minute break?
Yeah.
That'd be great, so I can grab some coffee, brother.
Yep.
Okay, so we're back in 5.
All right.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. BookofJen.net.
Okay, we are back. And you are in a hallway that is filled with smoke and maybe a little bit of fire. You don't think the cave-in put it all out? And considering how rapidly it was spreading before the cave-in, maybe you don't want to be in the vicinity of this anymore.
Does anybody know where Vex is?
I have no idea.
We gotta find them. Him and his dog.
Do we gotta look for more of these pod things? Are there any more that we can kind of get to? Right,
everyone looks the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We just gotta keep on going through these pods and look for them.
Yeah.
Okay, but what I'm pointing out is it is likely that the more you do this, the riskier it will be for you.
Okay.
Meepo and Obame have a bit longer before it's going to be a real problem.
Yeah.
Because they're lower to the ground. But Ari and Meiros are breathing some fumes.
And if it was Ponk, he would have been like, screw him, let's go.
Like, have you ever been in the same room as someone who vapes? About vaping and doesn't go and buy the nice scented ones. They buy ones that they think are nice, but no one else likes them.
Yeah.
This is the situation that you're in.
Yeah, nobody likes napalm and blueberry flavor.
Well, he's Maros is just going to do his best to try to deal with it and try to find the other members.
Okay.
Yeah, Ari has to agree. I mean, Vex is nice and all, and we probably should make sure he's not being burned alive.
Yes. Right. If it was Ponky, but like they left me behind last time.
Sure, we did.
If you do find him, you need to at least do 1 point of damage to him to get your share of the XP for the kill.
Right.
Although because Ari cast the fireball, so if the fireball is what kills him retroactively, then Ari's getting all that XP, and he's already got more XP than anyone else in the party.
That's because I have nothing else to do on Saturday night.
All right, well, at this point, I'm going to say, which role should this be? Let's go
survival.
With... Yeah, that actually sounds... I was hemming and hawing between investigation and perception, but survival sounds much more fitting for the situation.
Okay. Are we all rolling?
Survival check.
All of us?
Okay.
Yeah, well, everyone who's bothering to look for Fennec...
Yes.
...and Shepherd.
Yeah.
Okay, I rolled a 16, and survival is a plus one, so I have a 17.
Okay.
15.
Okay.
I did 13 plus 5, so 18.
Ooh.
I did 18 plus 1 for 19.
Okay. So I'm assuming that you're doing this as efficiently as possible, and each of you is checking different rooms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ari, you find Shepherd.
I am now Vex's friend for life.
Yeah. you have earned a life boon.
You are now the currently only living noble that he likes.
Vex wouldn't care if he died. He would only care if Shepherd survived.
Shepherd is unconscious and apparently was placed in this room in the same
as
general
bait?
Area the carcasses have been placed in the other rooms.
Right, he was
Shepherd
left
was
as food.
To be the food. But you do not find any sign that Vex is in this room.
What is in my inventory? Do I have a healing potion in my inventory? I do. I will administer the healing potion to Shepherd.
Okay. You take 4 points of slobber damage.
Yeah. He at least knows me. He knows who I am.
The stubby stuff you're doing.
Yeah. The potion will heal 6 hit points to Shepherd, assuming he had some sort of wounds.
He was at 0 hit points, but stabilized.
Okay, so he'll get 6, and that is my last healing potion.
Okay, and Obame, you got the other high roll?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you find... you don't like what you
find. I have a kinship with Fennec, so if I find him ass-end, I'm going to be very unhappy.
You find another black-robed member of this cult.
Okay, gotcha.
They are still alive. It looks like the transformation has started on them a little bit, but they haven't grown additional arms.
Would they know anything that happened to us?
They're unconscious.
Okay. Yeah. I figured if I could wake him up. Does he have any damage on?
It looks like he's got some stab wounds, but they've healed over. The main thing that's wrong with them is he's currently turning into a bug person.
Is that a disease or a poison?
That's a very good question.
Can I detect it?
How would you detect it?
We'll do a level one. I want to use a level one to detect poison or disease.
Okay. So how does that spell work?
When
you cast it, how are you aware that things are bad?
For the duration, you can sense a presence and location of poisonous creatures, and disease within 30 feet of you. You also identify the kind of poison, poisonous creature, or disease in each case. The spell can penetrate most barriers, but is blocked 1 foot of stone, 1 inch of common metal, 1 thin sheet of lead, or 3 feet of dirt or wood. So I can detect pretty much what it is and how, what kind of poison it is, if or what disease it can.
Okay, so imagine Christmas with lights everywhere. Now imagine National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
And the meter in the back of the house going, woo!
The disc breaks free, flies off, and takes a tree down. The house is on fire! No, Grandma, the house is not on fire. However, the house you're in right now happens to be on fire.
That's my fault! I did that!
I did some of that, too!
Yeah.
This is a situation where the Frogurt is also cursed. Everything is bad.
But the toppings are good.
They have...
Monosodium glutamate?
That's bad. I thought it was benzoate something.
Something like that. Sodium benzoate. Ooh, that's bad. Oh.
Oh. Can I go now? Okay. Well, yeah, everything is bad. You are that
and getting
girl
worse.
Sitting in the room of fire saying this is fine.
No, we know it's bad.
The poison is both transformative, and I would not normally tell you this, but as a cleric, I'm going to give you this. Demonic. Fiendish.
Fiendish.
Not necessarily demonic.
Talk about getting the devil inside.
It's in the details.
I can feel it.
No, don't go feeling him. That might cause
and I didn't prepare tongues either. I'm wondering if I could dispel this.
We don't know if it's magical. I mean, it could be a natural. If it's fiendish, it's probably part magical, but I don't know if you'll be able to dispel it.
How about a curse? I don't know. This isn't a curse.
You probably need like greater restoration, some seriously high level magic to clear this out. Lesser restoration might kill it in its early stages, but it seems like to me that this thing would be, this if it's already mutating, it's already in its latter stages. Greater restoration would probably, I mean, higher level magic obviously would take care of it, but the minimum I think we'd be looking at is something akin to a fifth level spell. Greater restoration, which usually basically can remove enchantments, like turning to stone, remove curse, yes, but I don't know that it's necessarily a curse because of the way it affects these creatures or affects people. It's probably something bigger than just a plain old curse. Curses suck, but they can usually be lived through.
But he doesn't have the two arms yet.
That's true. You could try something.
Let's try casting Lesser Restoration.
Okay, Lesser Restoration does what exactly?
You touch a creature and can end either one disease or condition afflicting it. The condition can be blinded, deaf, paralyzed, or poisoned.
Okay.
I'm only going by the teachings of Illmatter and trying to help a person that I see that can be helped. So my brain is thinking, try and heal it.
You think you might have slowed the process down, but not stopped it.
Ah, bugger.
Literally.
Sorry.
I appreciate that expletive has been used twice in tonight's session.
Just for the record, for the greater, it's you imbue a creature you touch with positive energy to undo a debilitating effect. You can reduce the target's exhaustion level by one or end one of the following effects. One effect that charms or petrifies the target. One curse, including the target's attunement to a cursed magic item. Any reduction to any one of the target's ability scores. And one effect reducing the target's hit point maximum. Diamond dust worth 100 gold pieces is also needed to do that. So it's not like you're going to be running around casting a couple of greater restorations anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, that's the higher level version of it, and that's probably what we're talking about, something akin to either petrification or a curse.
Gotcha.
A very powerful curse.
All right, well...
give me a medicine check.
I can do that. Let's see, 14 plus 8, 22.
You are fairly certain that while this may have started off as a poisoning, or that's how it's administered, it counts as a curse in regards to what it's doing.
I understand.
So
that's probably column A and column B.
Yeah, that's probably that fiendish element in there that's making it a curse.
Ah, all right. Well, I'll try and continue look around, but you know, I think my character himself is not doing too well. I'm gonna say not mentally, but he's feeling that he failed to be able to help this creature out.
Okay, so you're gonna leave him there?
Yep.
All right. I don't have to come up with a backstory. Okay.
Thanks for the backstory. It's good.
Yeah.
Unless I do. There'll be one more villain that approaches you 20 levels from now.
You
left me to die.
You were already dead.
Face my army of goblin children.
Oh, no.
Hi, Bebo.
Then suddenly a goblin crone shows up and says, "It's been done. I'm suing you for copyright infringement." Al Dente Esquire shows up and serves papers.
Yeah. Complaining to the Guild of Evil Intent.
Oh, and a good time was had by all. All right. So, yeah, you're able to find Shepard. He's up and moving, but not in the best of shape right now. But you otherwise have not been able to find any of your party. You vaguely think that maybe Justice flew off at the first sign of danger.
Typical bird.
But yep, you're speaking this because Justice tends to fly off at the first sign of danger.
All right. We need to get Obame over here to get Shepard a little more healthy, and maybe we can maybe he can kind of reverse track Vex, follow him back somehow. I mean, he is bonded to him in some way.
Track him, yeah. So let's go ahead and let me see here. How far am I away from them? It's going to take me 2 seconds to get to them.
You all come out of your respective tunnels,
little prison cells.
Yeah, for a few rounds, you do that scene from any Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, running from chamber to chamber, open the doors, closing doors.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and do a level 2 cure wounds. So let me go ahead and do this. We'll do 18 points healing.
Okay.
Top of the 6 I gave him from the potion. That's actually pretty decent. I have no idea what his hit point KP max is, though.
I might have a character sheet that was shared with me.
Well, then, could you know?
I will not tell you on a scale of 1 to whatever what Shepard's looking like, but I do happen to have a character sheet.
He is healthier than he was before. At this point, I think he's healthy enough to perhaps do what we need him to do, which is find Vex.
Yes. And at this point, if Chris listens to this episode after the fact, this is where he's going to start thinking, did I send him the latest character sheet? I didn't send him. Oh, no. Shepard only has this many hit points max. Oh, no. Oh, no.
He took Rogue last level, so it shouldn't have changed that much.
No, it wouldn't have changed too much. But the question is, how long ago was this character sheet?
Yeah.
The answer may surprise you.
It'll probably surprise Chris.
Hey, good news. Vex survived. Bad news. We don't know where he is and his puppy's dead.
And we're all dead.
Yep.
And that's how you make the ranger into the supervillain. All right. So you have a somewhat recovered puppy. The smoke is at the point where Ari, you can still see pretty well with your robe of eyes, but... Mayros, for you to be able to see anything at all with your dark vision, you've got to crouch down because smoke you can't see through.
Yeah.
And both of you are crouching down anyway because you really enjoy being able to fill your lungs with air and not have a coughing fit immediately afterwards.
I think it's time that we try to get out. Once we got to get Vex first, but I have a spell that may help. At least go through this, what's left, and perhaps probe where we can be safer.
All right.
I've got a fourth level spell called Arcane Eye that will essentially let me send a little magical eye through the corridor. It can see.
Before you do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have Meepo and Obame specifically roll survival checks.
Okay.
They're used to being underground.
They are, actually. That's a good point.
I've rolled an 11 plus rival is 12.
18.
Okay, Obame, you see the smoke is mostly heading in a certain direction, which makes you believe that there might be fresh air in that direction.
Smoke's going this way, guys. What do you want to do? I'm assuming we have some...
let's go that way.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue.
And then we can at least get a breather, if nothing else, and then continue to search for Vex and Fenix.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I still breathing okay? I'm like...
Oh, yeah. Well, the tall people had to crouch down a bit.
So I can still search?
Well, you can still search, but you'll be searching by yourself.
Yeah, that's maybe not a good idea.
No.
Okay, no.
It's Dungeons and Dragons. You can do what you want, but...
Yeah.
There are consequences for those choices.
Yeah. Meepo feels bad because she's concerned that perhaps... Meepo feels bad because she's concerned that perhaps she has already set Vex on fire in the fish room, and she really wants to find him now.
Well, take consolation in the fact that while you did start some fires, Mr. Ari made the biggest one.
Yeah. I made
the call, though.
Yeah. We didn't know how many more bugs were down the hallway.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's worth a shot. We saw two. That didn't mean there weren't six more around the corner.
Exactly.
Okay. So you follow this winding hallway. It curves around a lot. Almost like it's part of a giant spiral. You would love to see a map, probably, of this complex, because it would look like Fibonacci had a seizure or something. But you get to a point where there's fresh air, and the smoke is billowing upwards as high as it can go, because as you look up, you can see sky.
And what do we see when we look down?
Mostly ground.
Okay. We're not on like the edge of a cliff or.
Oh no, you're at the bottom.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Just making sure.
That giant sinkhole that you were taking that winding staircase down. If you made it all the way to the bottom, this is where you would be.
Okay.
Right.
It is a very large basin. There is some mist in the air mingling with the smoke, not thick enough that you can't see through it to the sunlight that's above you, but. If someone was looking down, they would have a hard time seeing the bottom. You can't see details up there, but still. And I'm gesturing as I'm speaking, and my cat is following my hand intently. Waiting for me to do something. And that's distracting me somewhat, so I apologize for that. All right. Now, this area looks like it was set up originally maybe to be some type of area of worship. There is a lot of low seating. Benches that are spread out in a circular fashion around the entire area. There's some walkways breaking up the arrangement. There's some pedestals that look like they may have had statues on them at some point with rubble nearby that probably was those statues. There's more hexagon-shaped structures along the walls here, but not nearly as much as what you encountered inside the hallway. Near the center, where it's obviously some type of altar, or was originally, there appears to be some type of glowing item hovering above the altar. And hovering above that, let me move my cat so I can read this properly. He decided to sit on the rule book. You see a gaunt old man, unwashed, disheveled, clad in ragged pants and a tattered coat, with stringy gray hair and yellow skin. He appears to be nearly 8 feet tall. He appears even taller than that because he's hovering above that glowing thing, which is hovering above an altar. Beneath his shredded clothing, and Ari, you can pick this out. You're not sure if you want to, but you don't have a choice. Congratulations, you have a robe of eyes. You see that his flesh hangs in strips from his bones, revealing innards swarming with insect.
Ew.
Burn it.
What is that guy? How come he can fly?
He's levitating, I think. Either way, that does not look happy.
Arbiak.
That was from Satan?
That was from Satan.
Who is Arbiak?
It's Arbiak, the Prince of Swarms.
Okay, so he's on our better dead list right now.
before we start attacking things, looking around.
Let's make sure nothing else is here. I'm going to, Satan, is he a professional contact or just, is he perhaps a close acquaintance?
Just like LinkedIn versus Facebook. So.
Yeah, exactly. Is he someone you know casually?
Okay, I am going to ask you to make, how are we going to do this? Make a persuasion check. You have to calm your amulet down to get this information out of him.
I'm trained in persuasion. I'm trained in persuasion, and I have a decent charisma. And what are we rolling on the die? That's a 17 plus 5 for 22.
Okay, so this doesn't happen instantly, but you are able to get a word in edgewise, so to speak, because this is a mental conversation, for the most part. To everyone around you, sometimes you say some of the words out loud because you're concentrating extra hard. And I imagine that Mayros is raising an eyebrow now and then.
Like, what is he doing?
Or maybe being less tactful than that. I don't know which. That's really up to him as a character.
Yeah. He's just watching careful.
Okay. But what you can gather is Arbiak was, at one point, one of the archdevils for a layer of hell. And then he wasn't. He doesn't know why he stopped being a lord of one of the layers of hell. He just happened to stop. But he's still an archdevil, and he's here. And that is bad. And we should leave now. We should leave yesterday. Does yesterday sound good? Yesterday sounds great. Let's go. When we're at the top, we can throw fireballs down. And then run. Run very far. Take a boat.
Well, if he's a devil, does fire bother him?
Probably not.
Oh, yeah.
What about lightning or cold? Or those also don't really bother him very much.
How about clerics? Do clerics bother him?
What? I'm sorry. To both of you were talking.
How about clerics? Do clerics bother him?
Well, I clerics bother him so much that you get a reverb. Because you just spoke with an echo in your voice. It was incredible. You should save that for when you cast spells. Oh, fun fact, when Fenix used his Thunder Smite on the T-Rex, I'm assuming you didn't go back and listen to the episode because you were part of it, but I did add a reverb effect when I said thunder damage.
Nice.
So, cold, not so much. Actually, give me a religion check. Anyone who cares to think about what would damage Arbiak very well.
Okay. I have a 16 and it's a wisdom check, so it is...
Not so good here.
Oh, it's a plus one, 17.
Yeah, 7. Religion is not Ari's area of expertise.
Wait, was it religion or wisdom?
Religion.
It's religion. Okay, so religion is plus 5. So I have 16 on the dice, plus 5 religion.
Okay, so Meepo, the kobold, knows everything about how to kill demons, apparently.
What do I know?
No, devils. We're talking about devils here.
I keep saying demons. No, these are devils.
Yeah.
Well, they're from hell, so fire isn't as bad.
Yeah, that was my
fire
first
bad
initially.
For you. Not so much for them. They also, they're not as strong at resisting it, but things like cold, not a big deal. Acid, it reveals skin's freshest layer. And obviously non-magical attacks aren't going to phase them very much.
How about psychic damage?
Or force?
You haven't heard anything about them being immune to that. You gather just by the nature of what you've encountered that this particular devil might also be kind of strong against poison-based attacks.
Yeah, he'd probably be immune or resistant at best. Or worst-case scenario, is resistant. Best case, he's immune. Which Meepo won't get any advantage, but she doesn't tend to do a lot of poison attacks anyway.
Not
I prefer not to engage him till maybe we can find the paladin.
Good point. Because that radiant smites might come in very handy against this guy.
If y'all don't mind, why don't the paladin first?
Yeah. Well, and Vex. Vex has Vex has the thing, the detector, the tracker.
Exactly.
So we need to kind of, I hate to leave this thing here, but we're going to have to go back to it later.
Yes. Do not aggro.
Yeah.
So I want to look around and
to this discussion.
Go ahead.
He moves.
Too late.
It's very subtle. He was sort of facing maybe a 35-degree angle away from you, but he sort of just slowly rotates towards you, and his head comes up a little bit.
Let's leave.
Yeah, let's leave.
And then it goes back down again in the way that one will tilt their head and still look at you so that their face looks a little more ominous. Raises
tactical retreat.
One rotting arm up and points it at the party.
Uh-oh.
And that's where we'll end it for tonight.
I was like, it's about to go down.
Yeah.
To be continued.
Dun, dun, dun. It's
like in Star Trek, right when Riker says fire after you find out that
Locutus is on the other ship. Or
yes,
Riker,
exactly.
Or Picard is on the other ship.
You gotta wait a whole summer to find out what happens next. The whole summer.
Before or after, when he goes to sit down, he puts his leg over it and does the Riker maneuver.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for playing. Tonight, we have seen the wonderful role-playing talents of Tom playing Meros. Tom, where can we find you? And do you have anything you want to hype?
You can find me on Twitter at Bolthra. That's Bolthra. And I have a novel that I'm working on. Will be coming out in late summer, and I will give you more details on that later.
Awesome. And Meepo was played by Jen. Jen, where can we find you? And is there anything you want to promote?
So you can find me on Twitch at Queen of Haiku, where I'm playing a lot of Diablo 3 before the season ends. And then other stuff after that, I suppose. You can also find all kinds of stuff on my website, which is Book of Jen at bookofjen.net. It's got two podcasts and a bunch of blogs, a lot of video game stuff, and some other stuff.
All right. And we also had Obane played by Eric. Eric, where can we find you and what do you want to hype?
What up, world? We're going to find me ever at votetokick.com, but you can also hit me up on Twitter at Synergy, SynRGY007. I've been on a rail tear when it comes to businesses lately, so if you want to hear some funny stuff or check out some funny stuff, check it out on Twitter.
And we also had Aristobulus played by Matt, who you can find here because this is his online presence.
That is correct. I do Facebook, but only with friends and family.
There's a lot of doo-doo going on.
Yeah. Especially on Facebook.
There you go.
Yes, that is true. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We do this every Saturday. Yes, it's been a long month. We do this every Saturday at 7:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 to 9:30 here on twitch.tv/thearchiveplays. Until we don't, but we're doing it now. Next week is, hold on, what day is next Saturday?
June 2nd.
June 2nd. Okay, so yeah, next week game is still going to be going on, but the weekend after that, we will not be broadcasting on this channel because I will be celebrating my mom's birthday. So I will not be near an internet connection doing this. I'll be hanging out with my mom. But until next time, have fun.
See ya.
What a lovely tune.
I just got this thing back. Don't make me fight you two and I turn around.
Before you stands a gnome, but, well, he's not like any gnome you've seen before. His skin while gnomes come in a variety of earth tones and flesh tones, is made of gold. His eyes are gemstones that glitter a kaleidoscope of colors, and he has a very, very wide, friendly, maybe a little mischievous grin on his face. You have never seen this gnome before, but you kind of feel like you know him.
All right, and you are?
My friends call me Garl. Pleasure to make your acquaintance.
I am Galen.
I know.
That's kind of terrifying.
I've gotten that reaction before. I assure you, I want nothing but the best for it. For all of gnomes, in fact.
What can I do you for?
Garl walks around the edge of the cabin, looking out the window, admiring the view. It's not what you can do for me. It's what you can do for us, for gnomes in general. You may have noticed, gnomes don't tend to get along with each other very well here on Circulus.
No, they're all very angry people.
Yes, it's rather disturbing, actually. It's not the case in other locations. One of my teachings has always been that many hands make light work, that working together we can do so many more things than working apart from each other. Gnomes have done so much more in other places. They've scattered and fractured here, and I want to change that. I could use your help to change that.
You talk like you've been to other places, like other that Circulus isn't all there is.
His grin gets a little bit wider. No, my friend. No, there are many more places than this. Some of them, he looks around at your ship, you might be able to visit.
My level of intrigue has increased. You've got my attention.
I am, for want of a better word, a god. The god of gnomes, in fact. Mm. Not from here. Gods here are strange. I don't quite understand everything about how it works. I do know that there are some forces here that are doing particularly bad things with how power works in Circulus. You've come across the follower of one of those beings quite recently, I believe. I won't mention her name. You don't have any pencils left to break in here.
I don't get that reference, but we'll go with it.
In any case, there happens to be a band of adventurers that's already working towards the goal that I have in mind, the goal that will help you and the rest of the gnomes on Circulus. You've met them before. You might have some differing opinions about their qualities, but they need you, and you need them, in fact.
Is this the group from Adrolanka?
The same. Their membership has changed slightly, if I am not mistaken, but they could use a very intelligent companion for where they need to go next.
Which is where?
North.
Feel I can help them, but...
If you help them, you will see things that you have never seen before. You will see inventions that you never imagined. You will be inspired to create things that will take the gnomes of Circulus and put them at the top of the food chain.
Well then, let's get started.